Boom!
Boom! Show number 915 on the Off the Radio Show with our guest there, Mr. Justin Cummings,
the supervisor for District 3, right here in Santa Cruz.
Also on the Coastal Commission.
You are on the Coastal Commission. That's which helps bring this story together tonight.
You've got some gonads to be on the coast. You're on the Coastal Commission. You're bringing it.
You are. By the way,
also a punk. You're also a member of a punk rock band. What's the name of the band?
The Judas Goat.
and apparently he lost his mantle, the Hot Wings eating champion.
Get out of here, that too?
Of the Paris Public House.
What are you not? You're everything, everywhere.
I'm not a surfer.
Well, not yet. Yeah, there's one to be conquered. By the way, just want to let you know, Pete Madden messaged me today.
Yeah.
He's coming to the 1000th show.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so Pete, I know you're either listening, driving in Milwaukee or somewhere.
Okay.
We'll see.
Sean Dahl called me today. He goes, well, we talked last night a little bit about the MPA.
Yes.
I saw something on Instagram about the MPA. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And he's going, what the fuck? He's talking about it. He
messaged me too. He's very passionate about it.
Come on the show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Not weeks from now, tomorrow.
He invited himself to the show.
Well, not really, because he's got, do I have to talk? He's like, this is going to be a fight.
Fire tonight.
It's the legend Sean Dollar in the house. Are you kidding me? The world record breaker.
Yep.
Guy buys the best house in Pleasure Point off his surfing career.
This is going to be a fight.
Kidding me?
But I said, you know what, let me make a phone call. Justin was going to be on the show anyway. Let me find out where he stands. Well, apparently he stands for what Sean stands for.
We're a team.
Well,
boom! Instant team.
That's a very important thing to talk about for the community, for the success and thrive of the boating community, the fishing community. That's a rough one. We'll find out more about
Sean,
it. Thank you.
Can you describe what the MPA is, please?
Can we introduce Chris too?
No.
No, I'm sorry. And I apologize. I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it.
You guys are going to get carried away before we even know it.
That's likely to happen. But there's no whiskey here tonight, so we're good.
Chris Killen.
Not yet.
This is Chris Killen, a good friend of mine. He actually knew him back from the day who did Maverick Safety for us up there. Ran the jet ski, washed over Skinny and I. He's been doing media and social his whole life and is absolutely a savage spear fisherman. Spends a ton of time in those kelp beds. So, absolutely bona fide expert just by being in proximity and being underwater.
Well, it turns out, just from our talks earlier, we have all kinds of mutual experiences.
Absolutely. And exactly.
Being in the ocean and doing different things. Yeah. Well, welcome to the show
Thanks for having me.
We're talking about MPA.
Exactly.
We're going to talk into the tobacco situation you have going on, right?
It's also election night.
It's election night.
Come on.
No biggie.
Should we make bets? We can make bets who's going to win.
Hang on. Here we go. I got it right here.
Okay,
I'm going to put
some money on.
I'm putting 50 me. On Justin. Right there.
Yeah.
Got it. Anybody want to go against that?
Okay, we're cool.
It's a great bet.
No. Well, a little bit. For
hands up! Hands up! Who thinks Manu's gonna win?
I think he's gonna win.
You don't know?
Justin doesn't know.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not a fan, or no? No, you're not. I'm not taking sides.
I just don't know. I've watched the Sign Wars. I've run before, and it's just been
Sign Wars are fun.
Yeah, because it's like it started off like there's a bunch of Manu signs and there's Lonnie signs, then there's Lonnie and Manu signs together at a lot of different places.
What's interesting, we had a guest recently that said there's actually somebody that had that was paying money to put mustaches on Manu signs. Which I thought that's an amazing story.
Yeah. Yellow ball on his nose.
Well, the best one was, as I told you the other day, I was walking across the bridge at Knob Hill over Soquel Creek. I looked over the edge, and there was a giant Manu sign in the creek, like beached. And I didn't bring my phone. I was like, oh, man, down, Manu. Good luck, Manu.
Let's talk about the MPA, because that's very, very important.
So I want to, first off, between you two, whose idea was this MPA? Like, who's going to be the one? Fishing Game?
No, so there's a group, two groups out of Los Angeles, California. One's called Environmental Action, and the other one's called Azul. And so people can write petitions to the Fish and Game Commission And right now, it appears that there's an opportunity for expansion of Marine Protected Area. So when they're saying MPA...
We already have a big Marine Protected Area.
Right. Well, but they're proposing expansion of Marine Protected Areas across the entire state of California. And it happens that they want to create a new one here. They're proposing to create one here at Pleasure Point. And they want to expand the Natural Bridges Marine Protected Area that's already in place.
Why? Why are they doing this? And why is it... I mean, exactly, just why?
So the governor has pushed forward a proposal that he wants to see us expand Marine Protected Area, or not Marine Protected Areas, expand kelp forests and help support kelp forest health. And one way to do that is to create Marine Protected Areas so that you can restrict certain kinds of activities within these areas to help mitigate some of the impacts, the human impacts on kelp forests. The issue that's now become apparent and that's arisen is that the group that's making these proposals has not been reaching out to local jurisdictions to determine if what they're proposing is actually the right thing and is the right fit for that community. And so I think what's become really problematic here is that the expansions that they're proposing of the types of reserves they want to have completely prohibit any kind of fishing within those areas. Hmm. And, you know, as I've been reaching out to like the local fishing community, people are like, we didn't know about this. When I'm talking to some scientists in the community, they're like, we don't think this is the best approach. And then I've reached out to some other advocates and activists in the community, and they weren't really aware as well. And so it becomes really concerning that, you know, our community hasn't been included in this conversation, in this process, because I think we'd all agree with having the National Marine Sanctuary with the MPAs we already have in place, and just like how much people in Santa Cruz care about their environment and making sure that we're living harmoniously with our environment, that we could strongly argue that if we're overfishing or doing something that's like non-compliant or we're negatively impacting our environment, we're totally willing to figure out how we could change our behaviors to be better. But there's no data or evidence to suggest that the intensity of the fish, the recreational fishing that's happening in the proposed areas, is actually having a negative impact on the kelp forests themselves.
This kind of slide this through very quietly. They slid this thing through, or it wasn't like, I mean, I heard about it from Sean last night. I mean, but before then, I've never even heard about it. You've heard about TC and you fish.
Well, what's a bummer is that this eliminates like my favorite honey holes, you know, of, and I was telling these guys earlier, I've had a slip in the harbor 30 years. I've been fishing out here 35 years. I spend so much money to catch a fish. Like, it's insane. Like, my wife's always going, my wife says all the time, how's that $500 a pound salmon, Terry? Because
both... If you Terry, you know you're in trouble.
Oh, I'm in deep trouble, yeah. Or Terrence comes out. But my point being is, don't take away what's funding so much. That's what scares me about
the local community.
Yeah, and also there's traditions. Fishing's so traditional. It's such a family activity. We pass it on to our kids, who will pass it on to their kids. And from what I've learned tonight, what they're proposing pretty much is going to eliminate entry-level fishing. You know, it pretty much will eliminate that paddle out on your surfboard with your kid
right
into the kelp. And rarely do you bring home a fish on those days.
No.
You know, it's like, that's the thing about it.
Don't ask him, because he's
no, he's a terrible fisherman. But what I'm saying is...
The right? MPAs, they're like, send Sean Dollar out.
But Sean Dollar buys a fishing license.
Right.
And...
He buys equipment.
And he never catches a fish.
No.
Don't eliminate that from our community.
His shit's on eBay right now.
No. You know, I personally have insurance agents local, motor mechanics local. I have a person that helps me keep the bottom of my boat clean local. I have a local shop that I buy my tackle at. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I support the Santa Cruz Harbor dramatically. And if you shut that down, I'll be the one that leaves too. And that's crazy.
Chris,
I mean, Chris, jump in here for a second. I want to talk to you because you also have a boat in the harbor.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what I was just describing would fit for you as
well.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And so what you touched on is going to affect me the exact same. But beyond that is the tourism impact to the city. I mean, we live here, right? Mm-hmm. So we're here, we're already enjoying the restaurant across the street. But the tourism, the people who come here for the weekend from, I mean, they come by
Fresno.
Droves. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for hours mm-hmm. they drive here. Spend the day, they're paying the launch fee at the harbor, eating at the Crow's Nest Cafe, getting a pizza, buying gas in town for the way back, buying gas at the gas station here. It's so multifaceted. There's also, like he was talking about, the generational impacts on our kids. We've had, like, this fight, the reason we're talking about this is not for our personal, I mean, we've had our fun, right? We've done amazing things in our life. We've caught incredible fish. We've seen amazing things in this kelp bed. And this isn't just Santa Cruz, right? This is the California coast. We're fighting for future generations.
Yeah.
And we're fighting for the tradition, like TC had said, like
right.
the future.
Well, it's also tough, too. One thing, Neil, is that we're like one or two fish people.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like when we take the boat out, spend all that money we just described.
Yeah.
We come home with, I mean, if you come, I mean, halibut limit is two fish per
I've
person.
Been out with you. Just
yeah,
out.
I mean, you catch one halibut, you're yeah. like, woohoo!
Yes.
Now, there are good days where you can, you know, fill the cooler and everybody gets their fish. But for the most part, you catch one or two fish.
You
know, Rat Boy,
you
couldn't
get Rat Boy. You got,
well,
you got
Rat Boy's got the fish whistle motor. That thing just, it brings him up. So, whatever, he's got secret whistle on that motor.
Yeah.
But there's a few people who are really good and lucky.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we come home with a couple of fish and
that's
we're stoked. Yeah.
Justin, can I ask you, what's the answer? I called you today and you were on this. You're already on this. What does already on this mean to us?
So this was brought to my attention by some folks in the community. And as a result, because of the Marine Resources Subcommittee of the Fish and Game Commission is going to meet to get more public input on this. I believe it's on the 19th of March. The next Board of Supervisors meeting, in order for us to get, you know, the board support for trying to push back on this, the next meeting, which is next Tuesday, is the only opportunity between now and then for us to try to, you know, highlight this to the level of the Board of Supervisors and see if we can get the board to support us sending a letter opposing what's currently being proposed and also encourage the people who are proposing these right. changes to Marine Protectors right. to come and, you know, work with our community on what's going to actually work for our community and to get them to understand like what we're already doing.
Yeah.
Is that meeting local?
Yeah, it will be at the county building, 701 Ocean, 9 a.m., oral communications. If you can't stay for the item, we haven't figured out the agenda yet, but if it's a regular item, there'll be a time, you know, later on in the morning when it'll be heard independently of everything that's on the consent agenda. But regardless, if people want to show up, our meeting starts at 9 a.m. We generally open it up to oral communications, which is an opportunity for the public to comment on items that are on the agenda or not on the agenda. And we encourage people to come and, you know, speak to
this is
items.
Both commercial and sport fishing, correct?
This is, in terms of the marine protected
yes,
area.
Yes, the area? No
it's,
commercial
it's
fishing
not,
either?
It's not just, I mean, first of all, I don't think there's any commercial fishing in these areas to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
I might be wrong.
Yeah, they're skiffing.
But it's just
the mosquito fleet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's complete.
It's a big fleet.
They'd be affected.
Yeah.
So they're going to be affected.
Right.
And I haven't had, I mean, on social media, my mosquito fleet friends are not talking about this.
That's because nobody, yeah.
It's really interesting.
The way that they've been trying to roll it out.
And they're very vocal about it, but they're not really talking. I feel like this is an under the rug, slip it in thing.
Is it, Justin, you're on the Coastal Commission. This is something that, which is a very powerful thing in itself. If you guys gone, whoa, wait a minute here. You got this group out of LA. Have you guys gone, whoa, wait a second?
Well, I brought it to the attention of the Coastal Commission so that they're aware. But I think as a first step, it's really how are the local jurisdictions, you know, responding to this. But I will say that it's not just recreational, it's or commercial. It's just no take, period.
Yeah.
Like, if you're an indigenous, somebody from a local indigenous tribe, like, you can't take anything, whether it's living or non-living. Like, you can't touch anything down there without a, like, specific permit from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And so that's what's really concerning, too, because it's like, who's going to be impacted?
Who's going to police the whole damn thing anyway?
And then there's that, too.
Well, I actually thought about it today because, you know, Fish and Game has, like, 2 boats for the entire Monterey Bay. And they
always seem to find you too.
They do find me, but no, those guys know me. They're cool. But my point being is, like, you're right. Who's gonna police it? They have a hard enough time policing what's going on in the middle of the bay,
right,
versus what's going on in the kelp, you know, or the 3 mile. Because we're talking 3 miles from the beach, right?
Yeah. So the Monterey, Natural Bridges State Marine Reserve would be extended from 4 mile, like just outside of Steamers, and then about 3.2 miles out into the ocean. And then the Pleasure Point, which would be a new state marine reserve, would go from Soquel Point to what they're calling Trees Beach, and then about 2.5 miles out.
You know what's crazy about that, Neil? That's some really good Dungeness crabbing in that, what you just described. Some of the prime commercial and recreational Dungeness crab happens in that zone. Done.
But not, under the state marine reserve designation, which is also why it's like there's a variety of different types of marine protected areas that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And so a question becomes why the most strict marine protected area? Like, are there other options that could allow for recreational fishing? And, you know, given that we're already recreationally fishing in, you know, the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, it's like there's already a lot of regulations on us to begin with.
We've been tortured.
Yeah. So
we can't fish for salmon. We have this random spots we can rockfish. Reduced our bag count for halibut. Like, we have been constantly beat up with how many fish we can take as sport fishermen. And Chris, is commercial fishing have regulations like that now? Shorter seasons, I know that.
Yeah, but they're...
But their tonnage might be regulated, but I just feel like we're picking on the little guy right now.
Commercials, they're affected by it too. But the little guy's going to be the one. Well, it's all, everybody that has anything to do with it is going to be affected.
Like, the guys on the kayaks, who are so cute. They are so cute. And their little boats. They got pedals and shit. They got 5 rods on that thing, and they're pedaling like crazy. The last thing I want them to do is go outside the
kelp. And even Drona, who's a district attorney, so with his dog and his fish, you go, get the fuck. Somebody approaches him, he's going to get the fuck away from me.
I have a lot of friends that fish off of surfboards and paddleboards and have just such a great time of just being able to paddle out their front door beach and maybe not catch a fish, maybe catch a fish. Yeah. But being on the water, it's all about being on the water.
Yeah.
I mean,
we talked about earlier in the restaurant, what's next? We can't surf?
Yeah, it seems next, it's a slippery slope. Like, are we not going to be able to surf? Are you not going to be able to cross the low tide line because you're stepping on...
Well, we can't surf because of the otters or something, you know? Like, there's always going to be something. But I think
you guys keep talking, about boats and boats and boats, and I just want to make sure the message gets across. This is like, you can't paddle out on a surfboard or SUP, and you can't spearfish, you can't fish off the beach.
Yeah. You can't fish and you can't fish off the pier.
Quite possibly you won't be able to fish off the Capitola Pier anymore. Yeah.
So
this is just simply...
The perch derby would end.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people...
That's the biggest fishing... By the way, that's one of the biggest fishing tournaments in California, is the Santa Cruz Perch Derby, which is this Saturday. And hundreds of people line the beaches trying to catch a perch. And
it's family friendly. It's
family friendly. Age divisions. And it raises tons of money for charity.
Go ahead. So go ahead.
No, but just to interject, I think that what's worth keeping in mind, though, is that on any given day in the areas that they're proposing to put these strict regulations in, there's not like 1,000 people out on kayaks. There's not, the shore's not lined with people who are just casting and overfishing in these areas. It's, you know, there's small groups of people who are generally out on a regular basis, you know, in these areas fishing.
I mean, on Saturday morning, you'll see 1,000 people out there max.
Not even in the winter. It's mostly, I mean, I'm there every day looking at the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer, you'll see 1,000 people. And then in the winter, there's almost nobody's out there.
I don't think the state thinks, honestly, like, shutting salmon down for the entire season is, why not open like a Saturday or two to flush the local economy with money?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like,
it doesn't have to be like this. Sometimes I wonder, like, who's making these decisions? Because of the fact, what is the local economy subjected to when you do these closures is immense. I know for myself, I give so much goddamn money to the community to go fishing. And when they say no fishing, I'm like, why no?
Well, and I think it's, I do want to also make sure it's clear that, like, there is a balance, right? I mean, like, our responsibility is to be good environmental stewards, right? And I feel like some of the times when there are these closures, it's because, like, there's a lot of data that suggests that, you know, the fishery's not, like, recovering as quickly as it needs to, and we need to give it a break so that it can get to a healthier point so we can go and fish at the higher intensity levels. But that being said, in this instance, you know, there's no data that suggests, especially because I think, you know, to Sean's point, I mean, this is fishing off of the beach, rocks, you know, fishing, like spear fishing. There's no data that suggests that intensity of fishing is so high in Santa Cruz that it's negatively impacting the kelp forest and their ability to expand to the point where we have to completely prohibit those kinds of activities. Because those, I mean, really, to the point, I mean, the boats, if they really want to, they can go further out. But when it comes to, like, kayaks, paddle boards, just going out and spear fishing, I mean, these are, like, some of the lowest intensity fishing that we have here. And in terms of, you know, trying to reduce our carbon footprint, I mean, these are, like, man-powered ways of mm-hmm. getting out. Yeah. And we're going to say, you can't do that. Like, that's... And that's why
they got to get in their car and drive 30 miles one way and burn.
Got to buy a boat.
Well, and that, there's not much fishing past that 3 mile line, honestly. No. If there's no salmon, the deep reefs are closed. We're going to wait around for tuna for a couple of days. There really isn't that much out there. No. And I feel like, we're turning the ship too far. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I think, one of the problems.
They're, like, going nuclear. They're, like, just hitting the nuclear button instead of... We're just asking them to slow down, talk about it, show everybody the data. Mm-hmm. If you're saying it's there, show everyone the data, have the conversation, and let's pause the brakes because this is...
That potion...
Has any MPA ever reversed? Like, once an MPA is... There's no... So, if this becomes an MPA, it's an MPA
mm-hmm.
for generations. And so, this is a really heavy decision mm-hmm. and it needs a lot of conversation, needs a lot of time to be talked about, and that's what we're trying to make awareness.
That Instagram post you had on there, what was the biggest message that you got from most people? There's 100 people, over 100 people that applied to you.
The biggest thing, which is the saddest part, is how shocked everyone is. Nobody knew. Nobody knows. And that is just not how we should operate. We shouldn't just throw things under the rug and politics, oh, you know, slide it through and then let everyone deal with the consequences. Like, right. I mean, I know a lot of people that I've talked to, Chris included. Look, if this thing gets closed, the mental health for a lot of these people that fish and that they're, it's their lives out there being in the water.
Right.
It's going to be really tragic.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking, you know, that this is like, like, if this passes, it will change people's lives drastically.
And you got to remember, too, Neil, being on the water is the number one thing.
Right.
You know, for me, I've said this forever. The actual act of catching a fish, that's back in line.
Ask your wife, because she catches everything. You don't catch
my wife fish. She does. My wife catches everything. She hooks it and hands to me. But, like, I love the boat. I love tweaking on my boat. I love my tackle. I like taking my reels apart. I mean, there's other. I love being on the water. I love sunsets on the water. It's the fishing part is not why I participate in this. It's the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And
there's no lifestyle.
Yeah. There's no greater. You mentioned that if this passes, who gets to vote on this?
Nobody.
Nobody. So you have no say in it.
We have a say by
protesting.
But expressing our opinion that we don't want this. Okay. I mean, the people that are going to make these decisions, I think, still think they're semi-accountable, right? And they, you know, they're...
That is... I mean, I'll just say, like...
Yeah, so, you can answer this question
better. A recommendation is going to come from the Marine Resources Subcommittee. I think it's going to go to the Director of Fish and Wildlife. Then a recommendation will come back down that will go to the board. And I'm just going to flat out say I'm not really familiar with the Fish and Game Commission and how it operates. But my understanding is that if it goes through that process and comes back to the Fish and Game Commission, there will be an opportunity for people to speak up. But that might be, you know, the where the buck stops in terms of.
And there's an opportunity on the 19th. You know, we could talk about that, maybe share a link or something. But for people to, for that next Fish and Game Commission meeting, to speak up, spend some time to talk.
Yeah.
As many people as can that are passionate about this, show up to that. Yeah.
It's in San Clemente, though, so it,
so you have to go on Zoom.
Accessibility is really hard.
You go on Zoom.
Yeah, and then there's a okay. We have a website that we're working on that has a lot of this information where you can find that. You can also write letters. The cool thing about this is that what I want to make sure is that there's a lot of people disenfranchised with the government and the voting process at like kind of a wider level, a bigger level. There's a lot of things going back and forth, like, oh, my vote doesn't count, why am I going to do that? This process actually with the commission, they are listening, and there's opportunities for us to kind of help with, there's five commissioners. We have one of them who is in our corner, Justin is working with her. We have opportunities to speak with them and reach them. That meeting on the 19th is a great opportunity for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the way that we can do this, like your voice matters in this arena. So don't feel like, oh man, they're just going to close it. What am I going to do? You know, there is an opportunity to speak up. So make sure that, you know, we'll try to get a link in your guys's like page or something where you can find data. You can find the original source documents. It's a lot of reading. There's a recording for the last Fish and Game meeting on the 24th or 14th of February. So yeah, there's just stay tuned. We'll get the information out there. And
it's
just
crazy.
Stay positive though.
Crazy. I am on so many social media pages for fishing and boating. Nobody's talking about this. I have a bunch of friends that are mosquito fleet, commercial skiff fishermen. They're not talking about it. I feel like this is happening quick. And the public is not informed. Like, is a Sentinel reported on this?
No.
Mm-hmm. You know?
No.
It's not.
We're it.
Yeah, we're it.
We're on it.
No. But it's this is a huge.
He goes, we're going to be in a fight. Right? He said that.
True. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's a big thing to make Westcliff Drive one way. It's all over my social media. Everybody wants to talk about it. Maybe we can, but no one's talking about this thing of this closure potential, and it's really interesting. I probably on my Facebook today there must have been about 14 different posts about making Westcliff Drive one way, and please sign the petition. Nobody's saying sign a petition about a closure.
You know, I'm gonna say, you know, somebody who, you know, I think that there's value in marine protected areas, especially in areas that have been degraded over time when we have overfishing, and, you know, you try to put regulations in place and people don't want to respect them, or we see the value in some of these ecosystems that have been, you know, degraded and we want to see them kind of come back. I mean, I think there's a really, you know, marine protected areas do serve a purpose. They are really important. But with this, and I think to your point that you're making, is that there's been no conversation in the community. I mean, I've even reached out to people who are working on kind of kelp forest issues and how can we improve the health of kelp forests here. And those people weren't even involved in the conversation.
That's crazy.
So it's like, so when our local advocates and our local, you know, scientists are not a part of these proposals, it makes me really concerned. And I will say as well, like, I was on the city council for 4 years. I've been on the board of supervisors for a year and a few months now. I never heard about this.
Right.
And so when it's like your local elected officials don't know, the fishing community doesn't know,
that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, I decided that I was going to move forward with putting an item on the agenda, because it's like, look, you guys haven't come and spoken to us, and we need to be, you're going to impact us. You don't even live here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to like make some proposals about how we're going to be impacted, you need to understand what we're currently doing and how we're actually really good players, rather than just saying, even though you're good players, we don't really know what you're doing, but we see these kelp forest areas, we want to expand them, so here comes the heavy hammer of you're prohibited from being in those areas, even though they don't really understand, you know, how we engage with our environment.
You know what's crazy, Neil, is that, like I said, I've been fishing for 30 years out here.
God, you're old.
I know, but I'll tell you something. The bay right now, to me personally, healthy.
Right.
There is bait fish all over the bay. There's resident whales, resident orcas. The seal population's off the hook. The otters are off the hook.
Yeah.
It's bursting with life.
Otters are sharks now.
And sharks everywhere. Now, the salmon, that's not our fault. That's a dumb president giving away the water.
Which president are you talking about?
I don't. The dumb one.
Well, I got Cindy Clayton here. It goes, Team Trump.
Well, of course. There we go. Well, Cindy, unfortunately, that president gave away the water, and now we're suffering with a salmon population that was affected by it. It's not our fault of what some of these other problems are happening, but we're the recipients of the crime. And I feel like that's really sad to me. And so, when's the meeting? When are we, how do people?
Tuesday, right? Well,
it's the 19th?
So there's two, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. We should talk about the pre-meeting first so that people know, can get informed for the big meeting, right? Yeah.
It's a pre-meeting?
There's three meetings.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Board of Supervisors, we're going to have an item on our agenda. The agenda should be published either late Thursday or early Friday. You can go to the county's website, go to Board of Supervisors, click on that, and you'll have meeting agendas. You can find the meeting proposal there. And we encourage folks to write letters, come and speak on the item, but you'll be able to see the proposal there. And then I think that's the same day.
We're the day after you.
Yeah, so then these guys are the day after, and so I'll let you guys talk about.
These guys, or who's these guys?
So Sean and myself, and there's a dive club I'm a member of called the Kelp Stalkers, longtime Santa Cruz dive club.
Okay.
A bunch of really good humans kind of the Lorax of the kelp bed, really, if you will. Like, we're kind of the keepers of that kelp forest. March 13th, 7 p.m., 251 Washington Street. It's Paragos Auto Body, Dan Foy's shop, who's a longtime member of the club. We're going to have Erica come, Fish and Game Commissioner. She's basically the reason why we're doing this. We're opening it to the public. It's not just a club meeting, so the public can come listen to Erica and kind of help us in unison with this meeting on the 12th, prepare for the meeting on the 19th. If you want to talk more about the meeting on the 19th, that's the next Fish and Game Commission meeting.
Yeah.
Where it's in San Clemente, but there's Zoom info on allwaters.org. There's a place on there where you can write letters and submit to
DFT. Write letters, but you can email people. You can email.
Okay. You can Zoom in. Okay. Zoom or in person. If you're just a regular Joe, me, you get a minute to talk. If you're like Justin, 2 to 3 minutes to talk. You want to make sure that you're composed.
If you're TC, you got like 25 minutes.
Come on now.
Well, he doesn't. He, no limits. They don't invite him. He'll take 25 minutes.
Sorry. Yeah, celebrity. I'm going for sure. Yes. I'm in it. But win it.
Go to our website. Please, get involved. We're doing everything we can. We're not sleeping, so we're not asking you to do that. But just come out and support.
Do you see, who was the lady we endorsed on the show?
Gail Pellerin?
Gail Pellerin says vote Biden. That's what she just says
right
now.
Thank you.
Gail's tuning in.
Thank God I passed my test. Hi, Gail. We got a proclamation. Thank you for that too, Gail. Yeah. We love that. Yeah. We bragged to Jenny Panetta. He didn't give us one. And so, thank you. What's weird about this is, again, the lack of knowledge by, I feel like, our local community. It's almost like they don't want us to know about this, maybe, or it's...
That's actually a question I have, and not to put you on the spot, but to put you on the spot. Why is it that we just have to kind of find out this ourselves? Like, is there a process in place? Like, I don't know, it's rhetorical maybe, but like, from your point of view, being in your role, like, do you see, like, why
is this how would... politics work? Like, is this unusual?
Good point. You know? Yeah, he said what we all want to say.
Well, there are times when people do their work with doing outreach and talking to the community and using those conversations to build coalition and support within the community to put items forward. And I think that's kind of the way that we should do things, and that's how I like to do things. But then there are folks out there who want to just try to, get their thing accomplished, and they'll go out and just,
get on the high horse.
Yeah, and share the message to who they want to share it to. And you know, and not necessarily do the hard legwork of engaging with the community. And I think that what happens is that when you don't, when you take that approach and you don't reach out to the community, you get to this position where now we have groups that are mobilizing really quickly. They feel like they haven't been heard. They feel like, you know, they're trying to, people are trying to pull the rug out from under folks, trying to pass things without any input.
Yeah.
And that's when you get these clashing, you know, battles, which I don't think are necessary, because if we take the time to sit down and have the conversations, we can try to figure out a way to get to a, to, we can find common ground, right?
Mm-hmm. That's an incredible answer.
Yeah.
Well, nicely done.
Yeah, no, it's a great answer. And I just want to thank you, because I feel like you're our hope. Yeah. You know, like, you seriously, you know, like, you are a pillar in the community. You're the supervisor of the district that is going to be heavily affected by it. And we need your support to help make our voice stronger. And
once
so
again, Gail goes, go Justin.
Well, and the thing is, yes, I mean, go. Honestly, Justin, having you here tonight, I did not think we were going to talk about this the whole show. There's housing and all these other homelessness and things going on in your district that are important. Fire recovery, Westcliff Drive, there's other things. But this is, I feel like, a really important sort of situation that we're unprepared for. Yeah. And your leadership and your words of wisdom can help make a difference here. So, first off, I thank you.
So we have to have him come back, because we a lot of stuff we haven't talked about with him. There's
no,
thing,
there is
one
a lot.
One thing I do want to talk about, I think it's huge for as far as our ocean, is what you're doing with tobacco right now, and how and you're trying to have tobacco taken away out of our county.
So I will clarify. So
please clarify.
Yeah.
About to blow up. On the
a bunch of guys just went, what?
They're okay with fishing no more.
It's controversial.
So, by the way, we are doing a lot of extensive outreach. I've already written some like articles in the newspaper. But one of the things that's surfaced is that, you know, cigarette butt litter is like the number one form of like plastic pollution that we find on our beaches. Mm-hmm. And as we start to understand that plastics don't break down in the ocean, they break down, but they break down into finer and finer microplastics, which then become part of the food chain, and then we end up ingesting in ourselves. There's a lot of concern around that. More broadly, but specifically, you know, since we know that tobacco litter is something that we actually can try to mitigate, there's been an effort put together by myself and Supervisor Koenig where we're trying to become the first region in the United States to prohibit the sale of filtered tobacco products, because those filters are all made out of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no health benefits. They were largely put forward by the tobacco industry because back in the day when you had filterless tobacco products, people would get, you know, stains on their lips, they get tobacco in their mouths, and they needed some kind of barrier. And so they came up with this filter. And then because of the whole, I mean, you just look at movies from back in the day and even now, you know, the whole deal was just flick the cigarette, right? Mm-hmm. Just flick the butt. And people are still doing that. And so, you know, we see this as a problem. I think there's a report that came out last year where they looked at debris waste that's found on beaches. And of that waste, 24% was plastics. And of that, 90% were
cigarette butts.
Yeah,
it's crazy to think
24% was tobacco waste, okay, and of that 90% was
bottles and so forth. But it's crazy to me because I feel like Mexico's way farther ahead of us in that. Like, I just got back from Mexico. No public smoking. You can't smoke on the beach. You can't smoke in parks. You can't smoke anywhere outside. Pass the law.
Well, we'll at least still let you go full diesel. Just. No filter.
No filter. Right?
Yeah,
right?
Come on.
Well, we already have. You can't smoke on beaches to begin with, but people do it anyway.
Exactly.
You can't smoke in the state parks. People do it anyway. Mm-hmm. But even if you think about the storm drains and, like, you think about Pacific Ave on a Friday night, how many people are smoking, and the butts end up on the ground, and that ends up in the storm drain, and that flushes out to the ocean.
San Lorenzo affects steelhead populations.
Oh, absolutely. I just think it's a – I am anti-cigarette personally, and I just think it's an annoying habit. Cigarette smokers, I know you're totally into it, but I hope that passes.
I will say that it's not anti-tobacco, because you can still buy loose leaf, you can roll your own, you can buy filterless, no one's stopping you from doing that.
We're going to eliminate filters.
We know that this is a problem, so let's, and we know it's impacting our environment, so let's do something about it.
Well, now that really sounds like something that's going to help the environment.
Right.
Right there. Right. Beautiful. And I'm behind that. Yeah, I think that's great. So, and Manu's into this.
Yep.
You're into it.
Yep.
What's the next step?
So we're just doing, we were trying to work on like what's the official legal language we can use to incorporate into policy, because if you don't craft the policy language correctly, then the industry will try to find a workaround, or they'll sue you for using the wrong language, you know, because we're probably going to get sued anyway.
Oh.
And so we're trying to figure out how we can get the like the best, strongest legal language and then get that to the different jurisdictions so we can all try to move forward together.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's going to be outreach, right? We got to talk to folks and make sure that people are aware. We got to make sure that people are on board and they understand why we're doing it.
Right.
So that when it does come to the board, it's not one of these situations that we're faced with right now. Where people are like, wait, what the heck's going on?
Because we know the tobacco industry is going to hire that Elena Hobbit chick or something, you know, do something crazy. So you know that's coming down the pipe for sure. No, but yeah, you better dot your T's. Or dot your I's and cross your T's on that.
Well, and I know, and Mark Stone tried, you know, moving this at the state level, and you can imagine, like, you got, you go east and inland,
you know,
you're trying to take away, like, my smokes, why,
you
know? And so all those representatives are like, we're not going to be on board, but maybe we can start here on the coast, and we can get at least to happen on the coast.
They can still put a dip, still do their deal,
You can still smoke cigars.
Well, man, what's funny about that is the true pro cigarette smokers will be like, cool. I'm cool with it. That's a great one. Yeah, I'm good. Sign me up.
Yeah.
And so I hope that, honestly, I hope that goes through.
Yeah.
I think that's a great opportunity. Amazing. Also, I do think that's, for you personally, publicity-wise, that could be like nationwide news, you know, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And hopefully, we'll promote other communities to say, use your wording and your homework to slide that through in their communities.
I'm gonna say when I met him.
I don't know. I remember this party, like Halloween, somewhere by the Yacht Harbor, pissing freaking rain. And the only person I knew in the room was Bob Pearson. So I was talking to Bob, didn't know anybody else. And I'm finally like, who's that dude over there? Right? Big black dude over here. House full of white people, right? He's like, he's the next mayor of Santa Cruz. I'm like,
oh, you beeline it right over?
Get the hell out of here.
That's my guy. Yeah. You're coming on the show.
Dude, good luck. I thought he'd last like 2 seconds, and here you are. You've come so far, and I'm very proud of what you've become.
Well, I am too. Iconic image is you and Chief Andy Mills on a knee. On Pacific Avenue, and I'll personally never forget it. That was one of them, and it went viral. Yeah. That was worldwide. But that was such, I think, an important moment at the time for healing to have that happen.
Yeah.
And I congratulate you for that. I will never forget that personally. So well done on that.
Sean, anything? Do we need to discuss anything else? Would be good. We covered it all.
I think we.
This is your deal right here.
Yeah, I guess my closing would just be that, look, it's pretty depressing hearing this news. It's been really hard for me the last couple of days, and I've had a few days to process it and talk to people. But to be honest, I have a lot of hope.
Sure.
I have a lot of hope that we can change this tide. I mean, talking to Justin, talking to other people in authority that matter, seem to be joining the cause, and we're starting to get a groundswell. But that being said, you can't just be at home. You've got to pick up the phone. You've got to call your friends. You got to get the word out. We need people to show up. We need people to know.
That stone's going to gather some moss. I think
this will only work if we all join together and make our voices heard. Because that will be overwhelming for this small constituent that put together this proposal basically in the dead of night. And we need to all wake up and realize what's going on, because this isn't also just about Pleasure Point. This is about all of California.
Exactly.
The end goal is going to be an NPA through the whole state,
right?
I mean, likely.
30 by 30, right? 30%.
Thank you for you're focusing on Santa Cruz, which is great.
We are, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, we need to wake up to this here locally, and we also need to be prepared that this could be a fight that we need to be in for a long time.
Yeah.
Because this needs to be done differently. This is not right the way that this is going.
And I guess I'll just to just say that, you know, we need to be intentional as well. Like, because there's, I mean, what they're proposing is like the strictest of the strict marine protected areas. We can, if we're going to do this, let's figure out what's our goal. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we trying to solve for? You know, if it's damaged ecosystems, I think we're all on board with trying to figure out how we can bring forward ecosystem health. I mean, this isn't like a anti-marine protected area.
Yeah.
Like kind of thing. It's just that we want to do it right. And we, as good stewards in this community in particular, we want to make sure that, like, we understand what's the problem here.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this here? And how can we most effectively accomplish both goals where we can have subsistence fishing? We can, you know, like I said before, there's nothing that indicates that the intensity of the fishing that's happening right now is what's limiting kelp forests to expand. So if we want to see more kelp forests, let's figure out what we need to get there. But let's not take a sledgehammer approach, because once this designation is in place, it will not be changed. And I think that's to Sean's point. Exactly. That's what worries people.
That is life changing.
We take a sledgehammer to, you know, an issue where we could actually come up with a pretty good regulatory framework. But rather than do that, we're just going to prohibit people from being able to access these places. And that's not what sustainability is all about.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think don't take the ball and run and leave us with an empty playing field. Right. You know, like, as a fishing community, we've been doing this for decades of working around closures and shortened seasons. And I feel like if anyone can work around it, it's the fishing community.
Exactly.
You know, but let's work together.
Yeah.
And I'm really impressed because I still have not seen some of my most vocal friends talk about this. And I feel like that's the message that Neil, you and I are helping get out by talking about it tonight. And Justin, we will have you back. Because District 3 is a huge part of our community. There's a lot that you've been doing, and we want to learn more and find out what your work has been up to. So we'll get you back here.
And, ASAP.
ASAP, because this show took a turn. It's an important turn that I think the viewers need to know about, our friends need to know about.
Yeah.
So we'll get you back on, and we'll talk more about what's going on here.
Thanks, guys.
Too.
Sounds good.
Neil, great show. Thank you, guys.
Chris,
thank you so much. Thank you so much.
That was show number 915.
Good
show. You're here for next week's show?
Yeah, I'm here next week, yeah.
Show number 916 is with our Santa Cruz County Superior Court Judge.
Oh,
Sida Cogliati.
The judge is coming. Well, once again, thank you everybody for tuning in to the Off the Lip Radio Show right here from the Santa Cruz Boardroom. We will see you next week. Thank you, T Fox, as always. Good night, everybody.